Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. 2 weeks ago, the illegal immigrant Jose Ibarra was found guilty in a Georgia court of murdering 22-year-old Lakin Riley when she was out on an evening jog on the campus of the University of Georgia. Ibarra is a 26-year-old Venezuelan who is a documented member of the Venezuelan gang, TDA, Trende Aragua. He crossed the border illegally in September of 2022. He was apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol and then released into the United States. Per the Biden administration's catch and release program, when Ibarra crossed the border, he was married to a 23-year-old, Leiling Franco, who stated that they married merely to facilitate their asylum case. Ibarra would then leave her in New York and move to Georgia. While Ibarra was in New York City, he was given free housing and meals at the Roosevelt Hotel. And while in New York City, he was arrested for injury to a minor child and driving without a license. And of course, the New York City Police Department released him. Then in September of 2023, Ibarra moved to Georgia in a flight fully paid for by funds from the Biden administration, a program to relocate illegal immigrants around the country. And New York City has made itself a sanctuary city, but the number of illegal immigrants was overwhelming the city, so they requested of the Biden administration to help them send these illegal immigrants to other cities. Well, in Georgia, Ibarra lived in an apartment near the University of Georgia, and I suspect it was paid for with federal assistance. And while in Georgia, he was arrested for shoplifting at Walmart, and then he failed to appear in court. And within 6 months of living in Georgia, he murdered Lakin Riley in the process of attempting to rape her. So throughout the 2 years Ibarra was in the United States, police authorities had plenty of opportunities to deport him out of the country. But the Democrat administration opposed all attempts to deport illegal immigrants, you know, even those who had committed crimes. This was their ideology. This was their policy. And because of this, innocent people suffer. And this is a truism that I have been continually repeating on this program, that leftist policies that are intended to help people always hurt more people in the end. Because any policy that violates the law of God will always, always result in pain and suffering. Now, Jose Ibarra was not given the death penalty because the progressive Democrat district attorney in Georgia, Deborah Gonzalez, when she became the district attorney back in 2020, committed herself to never seeking the death penalty. Now, fortunately, in the November election, Gonzalez lost her Republican challenger, but the damage had already been done by Gonzalez. The trial of Ibarra cost over $1 million. Plus, Ibarra's prison sentence will cost taxpayers $40,000 a year. His lifetime in prison will cost more than most people earn in a lifetime. So think of it in terms of another person's entire life work has to be taken to support Ibarra. But of course, it isn't about the money. It's primarily about justice and God's law, which is ignored and repudiated by unbelievers. God commanded in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." The murderer must lose his own life and be sent to stand before the judgment bar of God. It's the only righteous remedy. But again, unbelievers have an animus against God's justice in regard to themselves and others. Now, in the final days of the trial, the family of Lakin Riley read her last entry in her diary before she was murdered. Quote, "To my future husband, as silly as I feel writing this, my old small group leader once recommended it, so here I am. I want you to know that I'm thinking about you. I'm working every day to become the best wife I can be by working through my current relationships to best prepare me for ours and our kids one day. I'm focusing on God and what He defines as a faithful Christian wife so that I can best embody those characteristics. I pray that you know that it is with full faith and trust in God that I know this relationship has been handcrafted by God. I pray that we continue to glorify the Lord, prioritize Him in every aspect of our lives, and raise our family, our future family, to be God-fearing Christians as well. I pray God is the center of our relationship, as it's a gift from Him. I thank Him for you before I even know you, and can't wait to love you in the best way I know how for the rest of our lives. No matter what challenges we face, I pray that our trust in God and love for one another overrules the obstacles. May our relationship last forever. Your future wife, Lakin. Unquote. So this is a clear testimony that Lakin was a born-again Christian. No young lady writes such words in a journal without a deep commitment to Jesus Christ. So now, we not only have the issue of the injustice of murder, the injustice of open borders and illegal immigration, we now have before us the issue of theodicy, explaining the justice of God in allowing evil. Not just nominal evil, but the murder of His godly ones. Psalm 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. You remember in the book of the Revelation, when persecution breaks out against the Christians are slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony they have maintained. Chapter 6, and these martyred souls cry out to God. How long, O God, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And God's answer is unexpected. God says, wait a little while longer because there are more Christians who will also be killed. Now, what we know from Scripture is that God protects His people. Nobody can touch us until God is ready to bring us home to heaven. Matthew chapter 10, do not fear those who kill the body. You are more valuable than the sparrows. The very hairs of your head are numbered. But what God often does is allow the unsaved and their wickedness to be the instruments to bring God's chosen ones home to heaven. They mean it for evil, but God means it for good. By using evil, God exposes evil, that the feet of the unsaved are swift to shed blood. And God also thereby rewards His people for suffering for righteousness' sake. You know, even as Jesus, who was crucified by the hands of wicked men. The main point we need to understand is that when a Christian is martyred, it's only allowed when God has already ordained to take that Christian home. His life work is complete. And in Lakin Riley's case, God blessed her by saying, you have finished your course, you have kept the faith, it's time for something better. And I believe that by God taking His people home, God is saving the Christian from other evils that may befall them in this world. And that comes from Isaiah 57, verse 1, the righteous man perishes, and no one takes it to heart, and devout men are taken away while no one understands, for the righteous man is taken away from evil. And the point is, no one understands God's purpose or intent, which is to take the righteous man away from evil. Isaiah 57, 2, he enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walks in his upright way. So it's because they're righteous that God takes them home. As in the strange case of the young boy Abijah, who was the son of the wicked king Jeroboam. God pronounced judgment upon the entire house of Jeroboam, but God caused the son, Abijah, to die prematurely of a disease, and by this, Abijah would not be touched by the sins of his family in the ensuing judgment. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 13, all Israel shall mourn for him, Abijah, and bury him, for he alone of Jeroboam's family will come to the grave. Because in him something good was found toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. So it was because Abijah was righteous, even in his youth, God took him home and saved him from the evils to come. But what about Lake and Riley's desire for a husband and her desire for family? Did she lose that blessing? Did she have taken from her the desires of her heart? Well, I believe a case could be made from Scripture that God will more than make up for us any losses we experience on earth. But you say there's no marriage and children in heaven. Well, I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's somehow going to restore what's lost. As in the promise of Isaiah chapter 60 and Isaiah chapter 49 verse 22, where someday the prophecy is that God's people will see children carried to them. And they will say, where did these children come from since I've lost my children? But those who wait upon the Lord will not be put to shame. So, Lake and Riley is in a good place. She has been blessed by the Lord. But woe be to those who perpetrated her murder. For what they did mean it for evil, and they will pay a price. And Jesus explained this paradox to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks, for it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come. The stumbling blocks there refer to the offenses of the world, the sins of the world that affect God's people. And in the plan of God, it's necessary for these offenses to occur. Again, it exposes the sin of mankind. It causes mankind to reap the evil they have sown. It teaches and sanctifies God's people. But woe to that person through whom the offenses come. And that's the mystery. How God can use evil to accomplish greater purposes, purposes for good, and how God thwarts Satan by turning around all of the evil for the good of God's people. In the end, evil never wins. Now, it's not that evil is good, but God takes evil and turns it into good, into a good purpose for his people. But evil's still evil. And according to Matthew 18, it's better for someone to die prematurely by drowning, by suicide, or by others, than to commit evil against the righteous. And this is the biblical truth that I want to focus on here. President Biden, Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, mayor of New York, and every single Democrat politician who supported opening the borders, approved of opening the borders, or declared their city to be a sanctuary city, has the blood of Lake and Riley on his hands. And all these people need to accept their guilt and repent before God, pleading for mercy and forgiveness. Now, this may sound extreme to many. Is this really what the Bible teaches? Yes. There is corporate blood guilt upon all those who promote unjust and unlawful policies that lead to the murder of the innocent. Some texts in this regard, Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 4. The prophet Jeremiah said about the leaders of Israel, they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. And Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34. Also on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor, although you did not find them breaking in. In other words, they weren't thieves, they weren't criminals, yet you're guilty of shedding their blood. Now the question is, how did this take place? Did the leaders of ancient Israel simply round up poor people and assassinate them in some sort of genocide? We have no evidence of this. Now, even though at times the civic leaders of Israel did prosecute and put to death the prophets unjustly, and certainly this includes the practice of child sacrifice, the ancient form of abortion, but the condemnation Jeremiah is referring to is in regard to murdering the poor. The Hebrew word here can be translated poor, but it also means those who are in need or those who are of a lowly status. Or really anyone who's under a civil authority. It could be translated the unfortunate or the powerless. James chapter 5, verse 6. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. So we should recognize that Jeremiah would be including policies put forth by these civil leaders that resulted in the death of the innocent. Engaging in unjust warfare, or economic oppression that shortens people's lives, or permitting lawlessness, or looking the other way and not prosecuting criminals, allowing criminals to go unpunished for some ideological or political end. Where the state fails in its Romans chapter 13 responsibility to be a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Let's not underestimate the heavy responsibility magistrates have before God. And don't be so quick to regret the fact that you're not in political office, because those who are in office will receive greater condemnation. There's corporate responsibility for everything the government does. And those in the administration will be responsible for all the evils done by the state. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus deals extensively with the corporate responsibility of the leaders of Israel. Verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. They have made themselves the civil authority. Verse 4, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. So they enact policies that burden and hurt those beneath them, but these are policies that have no direct effect on them. They're not living in the neighborhoods overrun by Venezuelan gangs. In verse 14, because of their position, they will receive the greater condemnation. And at the end of Jesus' condemnation, he says something quite surprising, that these leaders of Israel would be guilty of all of the righteous blood that has ever been spilled on the earth, beginning with Cain killing Abel. Matthew 23:35, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all of the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Now, critics who read this text would think this is quite unfair. Why should these leaders be guilty of the murder committed by Cain 5,000 years earlier? And the answer is that mankind is a corporate whole, and that these leaders are of the same spirit as Cain and Jezebel and Ahab and Herod and Pilate. They're also guilty. And it could be said that at the final judgment, we'll not only be guilty for what we've done, but what we would have done if we lived in any other age or under any other circumstance. And God knows not only the sins we've committed, but the sins we would have committed. And if we're of the same spirit as Mao or Stalin or Hitler, we're guilty of their crimes. And the philosophers and the ideologues who promoted the policies adopted by evil rulers will also be judged accordingly. So this is a surprise for many, that civic leaders will incur guilt before God for the harm caused by their policies. And in going back to the Jeremiah 2 text, notice a response to the prophet Jeremiah's indictment. Jeremiah says, on your skirt is found the lifeblood of the unfortunate. The next verse reads, but in spite of all this, yet you say I'm innocent. Surely God's anger is turned away from me. So in the situation Jeremiah is addressing, the people responsible for murder do not consider themselves responsible. And the response will always be, I didn't intend for someone to be murdered. However, if one's policies result in murder, one is guilty of murder. That is, if the policy was intrinsically unrighteous. If evil is committed by some people during the implementation of righteous policy, then that evil has nothing to do with the righteous policy. The hands of the politicians are clean. But we know that letting criminals go free is not righteous policy. Now, last week, the New York Department of Corrections released a man who then went on a killing spree, knifing and killing three innocent bystanders on the street of New York. And right after he was released from jail, a month earlier, he burglarized a store, and the police still let him back on the street. So who now bears the responsibility for those murders? The Corrections Department, the Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, and all of the legislators who passed the bail reform law of 2023, the no bail, no jail legislation. A couple of months ago, Bill Maher was interviewing Megyn Kelly, and he objected to Megyn Kelly's point that Biden's immigration policy is responsible for the death of Lake and Riley. And Bill Maher's argument was the standard argument of the left, an argument that comes to everyone's mind. Quote from Bill Maher, "The idea is that you take in immigrants, and that's a good thing. Anytime you take in a million people, some of them are going to commit crimes." And his point is that this is just a case where the policy is good, but there are just bad actors. The old argument that you can take 10 million Americans and find some murderers in the group, so also with 10 million illegal immigrants. But what Bill Maher is missing in his argument is that the policy at the border is not simply immigration. It's open border immigration. It's catch and release immigration. It's don't do any background checks or applications for immigration, because that would be racist, that would be profiling, that would be judgmental. So the policy itself is wrong, and hence damaging and hurtful. Not only for American citizens, but for the immigrants themselves. Tom Holman, who Trump is putting in charge of ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, he comes across as a rough, strict type of individual. But in a recent interview, he explained why he wants to stop illegal immigration and deport these illegal immigrants, especially the criminals. And it's not because he's a Pharisee. It's not because he hates people. But it's because he's seen firsthand the result of open border policy. The rape, the child sex trafficking, the drugs, the breakup of families, the influx of criminals, the gangs, the corruption of the coyotes stealing people's money. He's seen people from around the world paying to get transported across the Mexican border. He's seen the using of children to get across the border and to get asylum. He has seen the greed of these illegal immigrants. And he's seen how these poor families have been deceived by the lie that America is a paradise and you can get everything for free. The Biden administration has created a humanitarian crisis, allowing people to come in with no housing, no jobs, and just release them into the United States. And yet the Democrats say, Jeremiah 3:34, "I'm innocent. But on your skirt is found the blood of the innocent." Because lawlessness and a disbelief in sin always results in suffering. So it's because we love the foreigners, and it's because we love our neighbor, that we want illegal immigration to end. Because illegal immigration not only hurts more people than it helps, it actually hurts everyone. It doesn't do these families that much good to come to America. You know, but it's a shame that innocent people like Lake and Riley have to die before people realize lawlessness ends in death and destruction. And if you're on the left and you still think the current immigration policy is good, well, Justin Trudeau of Canada, who is on the far left, just made a statement publicly that Canada has made a mistake in its open border policies. And now Canada will be closing their border for 3 years. Quote from Trudeau in a YouTube he posted on Sunday, "There are really bad actors who outright exploit people, who target vulnerable immigrants with promises of jobs, diplomas, and easy pathways to citizenship. Promises that will never come true." Unquote, Justin Trudeau. An amazing admission, because the devastation and the humanitarian crisis can't be hidden any longer. So I'm out of time. I have a few more points and news stories to cover, but I'll save that for my extended video version of this program at my channel on YouTube and Rumble, God and Country Biblical Exposition. All of the links to the radio program and the video audio are on my website, godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand against the lawlessness of this age, and stand for the rule of Christ and his word. May Jesus Christ reign.